Good morning, friends. Welcome to episode 75 of the Make Saints podcast. I'm Drew Downs, and this one is called Criticism. For the first half or so of my life, I was like an unlicensed critic without a newspaper column. Movies and TV, literature and comic books, grunge and punk, like everything needed to be analyzed and judged. And I mean everything. I mean food, I mean clothes, culture, social systems, everything needed to be analyzed and judged. People needed to hear my opinion, whether they wanted to or not. Now, social media gives us a platform and no purpose. Right? There's also no reason to be critical. We're finding all the reasons why we ought not be, and we still do it. What is the actual purpose of our constant criticism? Why are we incessantly looking to find fault with things, right? Like, we are somehow uniquely suited to evaluate all the things, all the time. It's as if we are not even allowed to have good things, right? As if perfection is always on the table and actually possible. Why do we insist on doing this, on fighting with one another this way? Now, Taylor Swift's new album was out a day, right? Just not even a day. And of course, naturally, a think piece by Slate arrives with the most obvious title ever: The Problem with Taylor Swift's New Album. Why did we need this? Why did we need this? And why did we need this now? It's obvious, right? The stuff, and it's obvious, and it's plain for everyone to see. But the real thing is that we don't know what to do with our thoughts, not our feelings. Our feelings we deal with. It's the thinking, and we never turn it off. But we also don't know what to do with our priorities in community. It's not just that we're thinking all the time, it's that we share these priorities with other people constantly now. My kids are, you know, into tier lists, which is a, you know, a whole thing. We're just gonna rank and order all of the things. But this is not new, right? We did this 10 years ago. For the last 10 years, we've been doing what the Green brothers, John and Hank Green, have been talking about: the Yelpification of everything, which is based on the website Yelp, where, you know, you review things with your 4-star scale or 5-star scale or whatever, whichever one you use. And but everything needs to be ranked and ordered and reviewed, right? And of course, you know, that was great when everyone like understood the project. But then, you know, we also know that people don't anymore, and if they ever did. And so, you know, the local burger stand is going to get a 1-star review from somebody because they wanted them to sell pizza. It's not about the service or the quality or any of those things. They're like, well, they don't have pizza, so 1-star. And the rest of us are like, why did you do that? Why did you just, like, you know, do that in our punch bowl? Like, we need to get rid of that. That's useless to us. Like, this is what we have. And what's the sort of the funny thing about this is that online reviews are often unreliable is not nearly as shocking as our continuing insistence upon them, right? That we seem to care about these things. Even this critique of criticism is criticism. So here's the thing, though, when I refrain from criticism, when I pull back even from that need to critique and evaluate all of the things, what do I find? Wonder, compassion, joy. I find other people's work marvelous. And I find such beauty in what other people can do when I'm not worried about, you know, what score to give them. And to realize that no one wants me to give them a score now. I don't need to. I can shut that off. I can learn how to love them and what they do. So here's the thing that I would recommend. You know, the next time you're watching a movie and you don't like the ending, write a new one. Like literally get out your computer, set up a screenplay. You need to format it like a screenplay. Have to learn how to do that if you don't already know. Format it like a screenplay. And then write that ending, like literally write it, and work that out, work out the stage directions and the dialogue. And then when you've done that, share that with other people. Not your great idea, and don't run your great idea through an AI server and let them do the work for you. Like you literally do the work of writing it, share it with seven people. And you know what? It's possible that you were right. Right? It's possible. Also not likely. I found that the more I actually think through these things, the more I actually think through, you know, the better endings and do some of the work, not even all of the work, but actually just start doing the work, I find that other options really are not satisfying either. That writing is hard. And not only is writing hard, but endings are particularly hard. It was easier before the 60s when we decided that like non-endings was actually a good ending. And so that's really like thrown everything off. So we actually really disagree about good endings, but since then. But yeah, endings are hard and no one's good at it. And chances are you're not better. But maybe you are. Maybe you are. Do the work and find out. And see what happens. You can see the other options. You can see what other people are thinking and go, oh, maybe that was the better ending. There's an old saying about critics, that critics are just failed artists. So it's telling that we're all critics now, that perhaps we're all artists, but it's not that we've failed. It's that we have never tried. Most of us, or many of us have tried, and we came across a buzzsaw, and it wasn't natural rejection, or it wasn't about our own quality. It really was that the people around us refuse to give chances. And so maybe most of us are artists who refuse to give each other a chance. So let's do that. Take and give chances. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time.